Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. A little later on in the show, Jules will be here to reflect on Real Madrid's clash with Real Betis today. Plus, Jan and Casey join us to talk about the race for the top four in Germany. But we start the race for the top four in England. Chelsea very much taking the initiative today with a 1-0 victory away against West Ham. Meanwhile, Liverpool very much dropping the ball once again at home at Anfield as they could only manage a 1-1 draw against Newcastle. Let's welcome in, shall we, Don Hutchinson and Stevie Nicol. Stevie, let's start, shall we, with that draw for Liverpool. You kind of called it.
Honestly, I don't know how many times I've said this year, this season. You think you've seen it all, and then something else happens that just knocks you off your seat. I mean, for Liverpool to get away with a VAR decision in the 95th minute, and to still give a goal up after that, I mean, if somebody was to write it in a wee book, you wouldn't believe it. I mean, this team just has completely lost its way, completely lost its mojo. Yes, it's given everything it can. And yes, it's still creating chances. I mean, today, it could have been, it should have been 4-0 at half-time. You know, Jota, Salah, even though he scored, Mane. I mean, the two of them in particular, one-on-one with the keeper, can't finish. And another crazy day as well. When was the last time both goalkeepers were their own team's man of the match? Because that's what this was today. Newcastle's goalkeeper, Dubravka, again making saves against Liverpool. And actually, Alisson had to make three saves as well. And I'm including the one that VAR chalked off when it came back off him and hit Callum Wilson in the arm before he scored. I mean, what a crazy game. Honestly, I was exhausted by the end of it.
We've seen this play out so many times in Liverpool matches this season, though, Don. Lots of chances, don't take them and then get punished later on.
I know, it's a movie we've seen before, especially, you know, since the last game, Leeds as well. It was a hard game to watch, Dan. You were watching the game thinking, Liverpool score early. I was watching Sadio Mane miss chances and laughing. I was watching Salah. He was trying, to be fair. Jota had about four or five 1v1s that he couldn't finish. And you're watching the game, you're thinking, half-time comes, an hour comes. You're looking at the clock thinking, this is going nowhere, this game. It's going to be a case of Newcastle playing quite well on the counter. They were forcing one or two opportunities. But the closer it got to sort of 85 minutes, you thought, Newcastle are going to score. They're going to do what Leeds have done. They're going to score late, and then Liverpool have got no time to react. Liverpool actually could do with someone scoring early on, just so it gives them some sort of time to react in the game. But I'm looking at Jurgen Klopp making tactical decisions. He took Thiago off, who was probably had one of his best games. He would have controlled the game, maybe. But at the back, as Stevie said, you know, you don't learn your lessons, you don't smell a game, you lose a goal on 94 and you concede on 95. I mean, it's just a movie that we've seen too many times this season.
Stevie, they've only won 1 in 10 in Anfield in the league. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's two things. If it was only two things. But I think the major problem, as far as the defence is concerned, we know that they're weak and we know that they can be vulnerable. Now, the only way to try and negate that is by keeping the ball, because if the opposition, it seems dead simple, but it's the truth. If you keep the ball, then the opposition can't hurt you. And when you're 1-0 up against Newcastle in particular with 5-10 minutes to go, all you've got to do is keep the ball and they won't hurt you. But they can't keep the ball, amongst all the other things that are going wrong. The biggest one, I think, is keeping the ball. Because, as I said, when you have the ball, the opposition can't hurt you. Liverpool can't keep the ball, and they keep getting hurt.
Five games to go. They're 4 points now of Chelsea in fourth. Are they still in this race, Don?
I mean, they are, because Liverpool could beat Man United in the next game. But in your heart of hearts, I don't think they are, Dan, because traditionally over the years, you could probably write that scoreline as 0-0. Never really been a particularly good game. And the way Liverpool are playing and United are playing, United probably would be favourites. But Liverpool wouldn't shock you if they went back-to-back wins. I think they've got a lot of horses to go past. Leicester seem as though they're pretty much nailed on. The Chelsea result for them was huge today against West Ham. So I think in my heart of hearts, I'm saying no. And I'm looking at the reaction of Jurgen Klopp when the late goal went in. I think everyone connected with Liverpool just probably wants the season over, just to try and start a refresh. Because at the minute, it's just It's just drifting, I think, if you're a Liverpool fan watching your team.
Stevie, when we're sat here in August, considering that Liverpool probably won't now qualify for the Champions League and everything that's happened this season, are we still going to be talking about Liverpool as a title contender?
If everybody's back fit, 100%. No question. You know, man, I get, you know, yes, the front guys have lost their form and lost their confidence. But a lot of that can come from the amount of goals that you're losing. You know, it spreads through the team. The frustration spreads through the team. And so if you're getting your two centre-backs and you're getting Henderson, your captain, back, and you're getting Fabinho back in the middle on a regular basis, and you're getting things back to normal and settled, then absolutely Liverpool will be the title contenders, no question.
That was, of course, the game that kicked things off in the Premier League. Meanwhile, Chelsea beating West Ham 1-0. It was a game that you rapped on, a kind of typical Chelsea performance.
Yeah, they were very good for probably half an hour. And then second half, West Ham were the better side. They could have scored more, Chelsea. It wasn't Chelsea being dominant. It was quite a... I think it was quite a sort of a little bit of a laboured performance, a professional performance, knowing they've got Real Madrid in the Champions League. So he made lots of changes. Thomas Tuchel made 5 changes. The bench was ridiculously strong today, so he could have made more. And West Ham were just lacking that front man. Tammy Abraham came on late for Chelsea, and he's exactly the type of player West Ham need. West Ham, I think, had a team talk at half-time for David Moyes because they respected Chelsea too much. They allowed them possession. They sat really deep. They tried to play on the counter. And half-time, they got a team talk. And second half, they come out, played with more intent. Their possession was better. The tempo of the game was better. They were trying to hurt Chelsea. And then towards the end of the game, Balbuena got sent off, which in my opinion was never, ever a red card. But on the face of it, Chelsea just about deserved all 3.
Big statement from Chelsea with this win, Stevie.
Yeah, I mean, you said it earlier, Dan. It was a typical Chelsea performance. They did start brightly, as Don said, and West Ham pretty much couldn't get out their own half for half an hour. But this Chelsea side's really strange. It always, at the end of every game, they always leave you wanting more. You always think there's a lot more there. There's a lot more goals in that side. And again today, at the end, yes, I think they deserved it, to be honest, for the first half performance. I was completely disappointed in West Ham. I couldn't believe what I was watching for 45 minutes. Yes, they come out with a little bit more endeavour in the second half, but they never looked like scoring. And Chelsea probably felt that. They probably felt, you know what, let's not make any mistakes because this lot ain't breaking us down. So, again, that's why probably they left me wanting a little bit more. But it's a great result for Chelsea, huge result against the real rival for that fourth spot.
Stevie, Don mentioned it. Did you think it was a red card?
Here's the thing, Dan. When Don and I were playing, that was called getting done. And it was accepted in the game by both players and referees. It was called, somebody either did you, and that would be a case. If it was you, if it was the other way around, you did somebody else. You're not getting away with that in today's game. Certainly not with VAR. You know, when it's slowed down, it looks even worse than it probably is. But there's no question. There was a little bit of malice in it. You don't throw your... He threw his whole body behind that. He knew exactly what he was doing. But as I said, in my day, in Don's day, that's not even a foul. Today, it's a red card. Referees are going to give red cards for that every single time. And what they'll tell you is you're endangering your opponent. And you can't argue with that.
Don?
It's funny that Stevie mentions malice because that was the word I used in commentary. I thought there was no malice whatsoever from Balbuena. I thought it was a natural follow-through. I looked at his facial expressions. It's not like he went to do him. When you kick the ball, there's always going to be a follow-through. It looks really ugly in slow motion, and I think that's where Chris Kavanagh, the referee, got sucked in.
Go on.
We were listening. No, Stevie, we were listening to VAR, and the VAR instructed the referee to go and have a look. And then once he went over to have a look, and all he got was slow motion and the freeze frame. It looks terrible in a freeze frame. But show me any footballer that naturally kicks a ball. When you biomechanically kick a ball, there's always going to be a follow-through. The fact that he caught Chilwell, I thought was irrelevant. Right. I didn't see any malice whatsoever.
Right. But Don, But Don, you know as well as I do, when you're going to do somebody like that, it's your whole body that goes. You don't plant your left. His left foot wasn't. His left foot wasn't planted. Watch where his left foot lands, past his right foot. That tells you that he knows exactly what he's done. He's not planted his left foot and just followed through and landed on top of Chilwell. His whole body has gone through. That's what tells me there's malice in it. But again, listen, it's the way the game's going to be ruled today. It's going to be refereed. Whether you or I think it is or it isn't, the referees are going to give that every single time because, as I said, they'll say it's negligence towards your opponent.
Stevie Shicker, they get rid of slow motion replays for VAR in this situation.
Well, that's a bit daft, isn't it? I mean, that's... Listen, the reason why referees can't make decisions is because the pace of the game. So if you don't use slow motion, even though you look at it again, you might miss something. No, it's unfortunate. There's no other way of doing it. It's just a fact that when you slow it down, it always looks worse.
Yeah, and that's why I asked the question, Don.
They've got to show it in real time because that's actually what happened in real time. Got to. You can't slow motion and then freeze frame because I tell you what happened late on in the game. So far, the right back had a ball at right back, and Rudiger ran straight out of his position as a centre half. He closed him down, and Sofal played a ball down the line, and he kicked Rudiger in the exact same motion as Balbuena done. And we're all standing there in commentary, ex-pros around me going, exactly the same thing, exactly the same follow-through.
Go on, Stevie.
Well, two wrongs don't make a right. They don't do the same thing doesn't do anything. What you just said there was absolutely right. It absolutely looked the same, but it wasn't. I don't think there was the malice in it. And again, that's what you need. When you've got somebody looking at a freeze frame or the slow motion, they have to try and figure out if there is malice in it. Because if there's no malice in it, then there's no reason to send somebody off. That's the difference. But you need somebody who can look at that and explain it to us the way I just did to you earlier about how his whole body's left the floor and he's thrown them at him. Because, Don, you know fine well that's how we did people back in the day. But if you've got a guy that can see that and understand that, then we'll have a better decision.
I don't see it as a red.
David Moyes would have had no problem whatsoever if he had gotten a yellow card up Valbuena. They wouldn't have had a problem with it at all.
Yeah, but a yellow card's just saying, well, it was a foul, and it was a little bit more than a foul. But it's not a red.
I think we're going
right,
around.
And the red card tells you there's malice in it, and you're endangering your opponent, and that's why the referee sent them off.
I believe we're going round in circles here. Thank you very much, gentlemen. A lot more from Don and Stevie on Extra Time. Be sure to check that out over on our YouTube channel.
What, more circles?
It's the Carabao Cup final tomorrow. Manchester City against Spurs. We've got full studio coverage around the game. It starts at 10:30. Craig Burley, Jurgen Klinsmann, Nader Manua and Frank Leboeuf all joining me to look ahead to that big game at Wembley.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Meanwhile, in Germany, Bayern Munich will have to wait another week to celebrate another title as a surprise defeat against Mainz. Saw them lose 2-1. Leipzig in action on Sunday. Mathematically, they can still catch the league leaders. We'll talk about that game in a moment, but let's focus, shall we, first on that race for the Champions League. It is a three-horse race, but what a photo finish it may end up being with Borussia Dortmund today winning away against Wolfsburg by 2-0. Meanwhile, Bayer Leverkusen with a 3-1 victory over Frankfurt means that just 2 points separate those three sides with 3 games to go. Well, let's welcome in, shall we, Casey Keller and Jana Agafjordtoff. Erling Haaland, Jan, eh?
Yeah, he was, again, unbelievable. And it doesn't help for Wolfsburg that you give him a goal because Baku gave him the more or less the first goal. Still, you've got to score it. And what I like about Erling is always using different of his tools when he come one against the goalkeeper. And then you had Bellingham sent off and you thought, well, this could be the chance for Wolfsburg. But you have the best counter-attack striker in the world. And I'm not overdoing and I'm saying something that I can stand for there. And he was like moving with 4 touches, the ball more or less over half the pitch, and he scored a 2-0 win. And he was vital for them today, Dan. And the way he kind of took this game into his hands, I think his build-up play today was enormous. And his strength and power we know about. And of course, we know about his goals too. Now Wolfsburg do as well.
Jan, I don't think it's too simplistic to say if Haaland was playing for Wolfsburg, they would have won today.
Yes, and it's a good question because you had Weghorst, who has had a great season for Wolfsburg. He had one chance in the whole game, but with Erling Haaland today, and I think if you have a look at the results of Dortmund this season, imagine if he didn't play for Dortmund, where would they have been? But now Edin Terzic, also the compliment to him, 4 goals in a row, now they won 12 points. There was a stage with one game in hand, they were 10 points behind Eintracht Frankfurt and that Champions League place. Mm. And now they are 1 point away from them.
It's incredible, isn't it? It's going to be very tight with 3 games to go. Who's going to make it, Jan?
Well, you just feel that with this speed Dortmund having at the moment, they will overtake Eintracht Frankfurt. Because Eintracht Frankfurt today, they didn't do well against Leverkusen. But if you have a look at the rest program, then it's maybe advantage Eintracht Frankfurt. And there is an unbelievable round coming up now with Dortmund play Leipzig. And it's a local derby for Eintracht again in form Mainz. And Wolfsburg as well need to be up there. So I will say Eintracht Frankfurt and Dortmund. And I say that Wolfsburg get out of it. But maybe it's just a wish and dream thinking.
Wow. Do you agree, Casey?
Not so sure about that, but I think Wolfsburg have been pretty consistent throughout the year, but Frankfurt have been a huge surprise, no question about it. I mean, again today, I agree they weren't at their best, and then. You know, frustrating to lose at that stage. You know, even a draw would have been good. But I think Wolfsburg will bounce back. That was a tough game today, and Dortmund have changed their fortunes. They're definitely playing well. But if you know, Jan saying that Frankfurt have to play Mainz, I don't think anybody wants to play Mainz right now as well as they're playing. So it's going to be wide open to see who can secure those 2 spots.
Casey, you were calling the game, of course, between Mainz and Bayern Munich. It was supposed to be the party for Bayern. They were really rubbish.
Yeah, the energy to start the match was just so low, and they just allowed Mainz to just get on top of them straight away. And you know, it's something that big clubs talk about all the time. They say you have to match the energy levels of the smaller club and then let your talent, you know, rise to the top. And Bayern didn't do that today. They let Mainz get at them from minute one. And Mainz were unfortunate that they didn't score 3 or 4 in that first half and really run away with it. But give Mainz a ton of credit. Give Bo Svensson an absolute huge pat on the back for what he's been able to accomplish for this Mainz team since he took over in December. And it looks like they're on their way to safety, where when, you know, Bo took over, I really thought that he was just going to be assessing players to see who was going to help him get promoted back from the second division.
Obviously, Bayern are going to win the title, Casey, but these sort of performances, do they take the edge off slightly?
Well, normally you would look at it and you'd say, okay, they're just losing today so they can win the title at home in front of their fans. But obviously with no fans in the stadium, that's not the point. So I think, but we've seen an inconsistency of Bayern this year that we haven't seen in years past, particularly on the defensive side. And it looked like that they had cleaned that up here in the last 5 or 6 weeks. And today just kind of once again shows that they need to strengthen, you know, not only defensively, but the character. Now, again, they are far and away the most talented squad. Still, I don't see a squad in the next year or two that are going to challenge, particularly if Dortmund have to sell some key players. We don't know, you know, with Leipzig not being able to replace Timo Werner for this year, which obviously was a huge loss to their title challenge. So, but Bayern, if they want to challenge Champions League, there needs to be some changes.
Jan, was it just complacency today? Are we reading too much into this?
Yeah, it could be, but we don't often see that by Bayern. I think that maybe this is a consequence. Yes, we have to give Mainz a compliment. I think Bo Svensson are in a candidate to be coach of the season in the Bundesliga. Unbelievable job he has done there. But Bayern now, this is a consequence that's been going on for the last couple of weeks and just show the weakness in the system of Bayern now. And remember, the club said that we're going to talk to Hans Flick after the Mainz game. Well, I look forward to those conversations. And Salihamidzic, the head of sport, who supposedly is the winner of all this, where should he go? Well, he should go to Leipzig and try to get Nagelsmann. If he doesn't get Nagelsmann, there's going to be unbelievable trouble in and around Bayern Munich, and then we haven't even started if he will fit in there with all the politics going around at that club. And we've said it so many times, the only club that can stop Bayern is Bayern themselves, and they are starting to do that now. And if Dortmund can keep their best players, if Leipzig can keep Nagelsmann, hopefully there could be a real challenge for next season.
Last point, Jan, Lewandowski one step closer to breaking Müller's record.
Yeah, it was so good to have him back because he would 100% have taken that record if it didn't happen, that injury. And it's so typical when he got that chance 20 seconds before the end, he scored 36 now. Gerd Müller got 40 and 3 games to go, penalties and wins. And I think he will take that record. I think it would be a good thing that he equaled that record, because for me, Gerd Müller is the best goal getter of all times. And I think that could be a fantastic compliment to the modern goal getter, Robert Lewandowski.
Brilliant stuff, boys. As always, thank you very much. So, Leipzig with the opportunity to keep the title race just about alive if they get that victory against Stuttgart tomorrow. That game live at 9:30 Eastern on Plus, followed by Borussia Mönchengladbach against Bielefeld.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Big story in Spain today. Real Madrid missed out on the opportunity to go top of the table. They could only manage a 0-0 draw against Real Betis. Julian Laurent was, well, lucky enough to watch this game for us. Yeah, this was tough. It's like the Getafe game. It was tough, wasn't it, Jules? When they're not very good, they're not very entertaining, Madrid.
Yes, you're right. And it was very similar to the Getafe game. Although the Getafe game, because of all the players that they had missing, was a bit more, OK, we take a draw. We could have lost that game against Getafe, but we take a draw and then we move on to the next one and we'll have players coming back. And we saw against Cadiz, the 3-0 win, Benzema shining. And we thought, OK, it was just a little dip against Getafe because of the players missing. However, tonight, you know, Carvajal is back. You had a defense with Varane as well in there. you had Casemiro and Luka Modric starting in midfield. Okay, Kroos was out, but still, Isco was there, but I'm not sure what Isco is doing in that team, full stop. And then Zidane chose to put Vinicius on the bench and start Rodrigo with Benzema and Sensu. And I think, for me, that's where the mistake was as well. I know there's a big Champions League game coming, of course, on Tuesday night, but I think Vinicius should have started that game. He was far too comfortable for Betis in the first half. There was no pressure on the ball. Every time Betis had the ball, the next Madrid player was three meters away. It was crazy, the lack of intensity. It was a bit better in the second half, but not enough. It was very disappointing again from Real Madrid, because it's the third 0-0 draw in the last four games now, if you count the 0-0 away at Liverpool too.
Yeah, that's the thing, Jules, isn't it? When you take a look at their title prospects, you look at the league table and you think, no, you know, they've got a good chance. There's still enough games and to get enough points. But you see them dropping too many points between now and the end of the season to be crowned champions.
Yeah, that's right. And again, we've mentioned it on the show. If you look at last season, and of course, the context was different and they were out of the Champions League pretty early after that defeat against City. So very different in the last 16, very different. However, they went 10 games in a row with a win to make sure that they clinched that title. This season, they would have to do something similar. And even that might not be enough, because as we've been saying, if Barcelona win all their games in hand, including the one against Atletico Madrid at the beginning of May, then they will be champions for sure, regardless of what Real Madrid can be doing. So, but even that, even in this kind of mindset of, okay, we have to win everything and hope that Barca don't, they still drop points. And it's not just the fact that they're dropping points tonight. They hardly create anything. Eden Hazard is back for the last 15 minutes. And he is the one creating with that 1-2 with Benzema. And then he gives the ball to Vinicius, where maybe he should have taken the shot. He's the only one really with a bit of spark there. And he's only been on the pitch 10 minutes. And he's just been out for the last, 2 months or something. So there's clearly a bit of spark missing. Of course, they're tired. And Zidane said before that physically they're really on the edge, on the limit. But again, you still expect more from that team, especially with the players that were on the pitch tonight.
Do you think Hazard will start against Chelsea?
I don't think he will start. I think he will come on and then maybe start the second leg the following week.
Meanwhile, Jules, obviously all of this is secondary to what we saw on Instagram today. Zinedine Zidane in like a purple onesie on the floor with his dog reading like an inspirational book. And anyone who follows Instagram, Zinedine Zidane on Instagram, is boring. You know, it's all commercial kind of sponsored stuff. Where did this come from?
I'm not sure if Véronique Zidane, his wife, had something to
some revenge,
to do with it. Maybe we saw Enzo, one of his four sons, responding with three big hearts. Clearly, the family loved the photo. The dog didn't seem that bothered. To be fair, that there was a photo being taken, and Zidane was in a purple onesie or tracksuit. It might be a whole tracksuit. We're not sure.
Onesie or not?
But just incredible. Yeah, really incredible photo.
Ah, top-notch analysis as always from us. As you're here, Jules, let's talk about PSG as well, shall we? Mbappe is on fire at the moment.
Incredible. I mean, the brace again today. The first goal really early. Great run. I don't know how Metz could have left him so much space to run into like he did on that ball from Herrera. Lovely finish. Second goal as well, when PSG conceded straight after the break, where maybe it was a time where the doubts crept in a bit, because they know that they can't drop any more points between now and the end of the season if they want to win this title. And he was the one to rescue them again. He got a little knock on his knee at the end, nothing serious, nothing big at all. He came off with a bit of ice on his knee, but it was a great Kylian Mbappe performance again, like the one we saw pretty much in the last 6 weeks or so in the league and also in the Champions League. And it's at the right time before that semi-final first leg against City, of course, at the Parc des Princes on Wednesday.
As you say, not right time, not only for the Champions League, but also domestically as well.
Yeah, I mean, he, especially after the Neymar injury, the Neymar suspension too, PSG need Mbappe in that kind of form. And if on top of that, you give him all that space like Messi did in a very naive way so early in the game, then he will hurt you so badly and he will lead this team. And that's what he wants anyway. He wants more responsibilities. He wants to be the one who can take this team to the title, this team to the Champions League title as well. And I think we saw against Barcelona in both legs, but especially the first one, against Bayern Munich again in both legs, but especially the first one, that he feels right now, even if he's only 22 years old, he feels that he can carry that weight of, okay, I'm your leader as well as others, but I'm your leader and I'm going to take you to the next level. And so far he's been working really well in the last, 6 to 8 weeks, and he will have to continue between now and the end of the season if they want to achieve all the objectives that they have.
Great stuff, Jules. As always, thank you very much. Be sure to join us on the next edition of the show. It is, of course, the Carabao Cup final. We'll be looking back at Manchester City against Spurs at Wembley. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Full program of Serie A matches for you on a Sunday. 5 games in total, including Inter against Hellas Verona, and then our main game, Atalanta against Bologna. And on Monday, Torino against Napoli. Lazio take on AC Milan. That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Don't forget, join us tomorrow, 10:30 in the morning, as we count down to the Carabao Cup final kickoff. I'll be joined by Craig Nadem, Frank LaBeouf, and Jurgen Klinsmann. That's it for now, but be sure to stay tuned. Extra Time is next with Don and Stevie. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Don and Stevie with us. Stevie, you're not on Twitter these days, are you? You're missing out on some gems from Don, including him retweeting people saying, Don is probably the best all-round player I've ever seen in a Blade shirt. Shame he didn't stay longer.
Well, of course you've got to retweet that, and
you don't have to retweet.
And he retweeted that. Of course you do. A nice little bit of love from the Chef U fans.
You have to retweet that, Don. Where's the humility?
If you had a couple of beers in you, then I could see it.
No, it was this morning. It was at breakfast.
Yeah. I got a bit of love, so I retweeted it.
Yeah, you can't do that.
I love Chef U United. I love Chef
U United. You
can't do that. Speaking of food, Don, you're about to have dinner.
I thought you loved Everton.
No, he loves everyone, doesn't he? It depends on the day.
Of course.
Why are you going vegetarian pizza tonight, Don?
No specific reason. A mate of mine ordered a vegetarian pizza the other week at work with extra jalapenos on, and I was like, I'm not eating that. I like meat. I like pepperoni. I like some chicken.
Right.
And I tasted it, and I was like, whoa, that's amazing. I'm going to order that tonight.
The jalapenos is the difference.
Spicy jalapenos.
Right, I see. Isn't there melted cheese on a pizza?
Yeah, it doesn't count.
Right, good. Has the panel seen a player who frustrates and causes tearing out hair like Werner? With his pace and talent, he should be a nightmare to play against. What will Stevie do to bring him back to his previous levels?
Listen, you just... I think Lee Dixon's talking about it. Certainly when I was listening to it today. And he said the right thing. He just said, you got to keep working hard at every part of your game. You know, if you drop your shoulders and feel sorry for yourself, then nothing's going to change. So you've got to work hard. So listen, you just keep working hard. He has been working hard. He worked hard today. You know, you can argue that he could have done better with some of the half chances he had, but he scored the goal. And I'll tell you, it was a nightmare for the three centre backs. Every time he took them wide. So, yeah, it's hard work. Hard work, that's the start of it.
You could never accuse him of hiding, Don.
No, he doesn't, does he? I mean, he missed some chances. He missed one with his left foot today. He tries. He's lacking so much confidence. You can see, I think what he's doing now, Dan, is he's overthinking things. I think he's getting in front of goal. There's a million things going through his brain. The more options he's got, he chooses the wrong one. His finish, because it was instinctive and he had no other option, he just got it on his right foot, punched it in the back of the net, didn't have to think about it, first time finish. When he's got the ball in the 18-yard box, he's got a bit of skill. He can go left, he can go right, he can pick an assist. When you've got no confidence, you're trying to play the simple thing and you try to make the easy pass. And in the end, you take too much time. And the first option, Stevie will tell you, we were always drummed into it from Ronnie Moran and Kenny Dalglish. The first option you see is normally the correct one.
Stevie, do you think it's about time to have former players be referees? Well, it's a big sign.
You know, I kind of go back and forward with this, whether that actually would work or not. I mean, I've refereed games when I was coaching with my side, the first team in the reserves. And I've made mistakes. And then when I look back at them, I think, how did I do that? Or how come I saw that? I think, unfortunately, the truth is, it's easy when you're on the outside looking in, telling people how it should be and shouldn't be done. I think it's a bit like playing. We're all experts. We would all pick the right choice when we're in front of goal. Everything Werner's doing, everything that Sadio Mane's doing now, that is killing him in front of goal, we can sit and tell him, oh, do this, do that, do this. It's a different ball game when you're actually the person on the field, on the grass, and you've got a split second to either take your chance or make a decision. Now, the referees have got the VAR behind them now, so there's no real excuse when they make such a mess of it for that. But I guess I've kind of talked my way into saying, no, I'm not so sure former players should be referees.
What if he chucks an ex-player in the VAR booth, Stevie? Is that an option?
I think so. Because then I could explain, you know, Don and I had disagreed about the red card, but, you know, if I was in the booth with the referee, I could tell him the way I told you what's going through Balbuena's head,
right?
In my opinion. And my opinion, because his standing foot, he should have had his standing foot on the ground for the whole period of time when he's clearing the ball. The fact that his standing leg is off the ground tells you that he, 100% in my opinion, is completely following through. And so to send him off is the right decision, because he's putting his opponent at risk. Now, if I could explain that to a referee, then that would certainly help all the time, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you think?
Don?
I mean, I was talking before about... We used to call it getting done or doing somebody.
Right.
Do you think the referees have got any idea what we would... If I said to them, oh, he's just done them, they'd be like, what do you mean?
Yeah, they wouldn't
know. That's the kind of thing where a former player would help.
That's why you shouldn't have two of us in there.
And actually, that's...
Well, yeah. I'd put myself
but that,
up for
but that's
it.
Actually,
you know,
but that,
we
that's
know
actually a perfect example of having a former player in. That's a perfect example, Don, because the decision is not whether he made contact. The decision for me, whether it's a red card or a yellow, is the intent there. And so having a player in explaining what's going through a player's head makes it a straight decision.
The problem is, Stevie, that like you and Don, just as you're both ex-players, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to agree.
But if you put one of
no,
us
that's
down
true.
In the
but
room,
but again, if we're not making the decision, we're giving information to whoever's making the final decision, which is the referee, and then it's up to him to make that decision.
Right.
But what we're trying to do is simplify the decision for him to make, which is what VAR tries to do.
Yeah, you wouldn't want an ex-player trying to tell a referee the laws of the game. We would be only in there to tell a referee what you've seen and from your past knowledge. I mean, I don't agree with Stevie. I think the Balbuena one wasn't any malice and no intent, but you can try and say to a referee when you see a clear one, when someone's been two-footed and the referee's not sure, you could say, listen, I've been there before. He's tried to do him there. I think you should send him off. The laws of the game, ex-footballers and footballers, there's a million laws. We wouldn't have a clue about all the laws of the game. We know what it's like when you're playing the game, when your head's gone, when there's a bit of red mist, if there's been a clean tackle. If you've tried to make a tackle and you've committed to it and you're a fraction late, you tell the referee he was unlucky there, that's not a red card. So there's ways I think an ex-pro could help.
Don, has Moyes changed from when he managed Manchester United, or was it just United players did not believe in his management, thus we were so poor under him?
I think a little bit of... Fergie was always going to be a tough ass to follow. It's like when Arsene Wenger left Arsenal. When the great ones leave, you're the unlucky one, you get the job, you can never ever turn it down. But you're working with big egos who are gutted that the previous manager, the legend's gone. His signings weren't particularly great. I think he upset the United fans when he took Fellaini to United. They're used to a different calibre of players. And it was more like he was trying to play the Everton way rather than the Man United way. So he got off to a bad start. And then from then on, it was never really going to work. I think a club like West Ham and a club like Everton suits Moyes. He's doing a brilliant job this season. He's working with different players. The players that he's bringing into West Ham, he's bringing them from either, you know, Championship teams where he can improve them, or he's been a little bit cute like Sofal and Socek. Not many teams would have heard of these guys, but they've been really good signings. Jared Bowen, another one, brilliant signing. So I think it must be hard if you're a manager getting a Man U job or an Arsenal job when the previous man was a legend, but you know you can never turn it down and you're on a hiding of nothing.
Stevie, should Liverpool replace...
You know what? Do you know the other thing about that what? Made it impossible for Moyes? That team needed rebuilding. Yeah. It might have won the league, but it needed rebuilding. And so whoever took it, whether it was Moyes or anybody else, was on a hiding to nothing.
Stevie, should Liverpool replace Sadio Mane with Kylian Mbappe? It's nice.
yeah.
Yep.
that's the hardest question of the day. Yes.
Will Mane be all right, Stevie? He's on a rough patch, obviously, at the moment.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Listen, it's incredible. It's incredible because Liverpool were always going to drop a level. I mean, up until, just Christmas time, the level they'd played at for 2 years was absolutely off the charts. So there was going to be a drop-off. But what you couldn't have thought was that A, all the injuries, and B, everybody dropped off at the one time. I've never seen it happening like that in my life. I mean, you talk about just so many players, particularly the front three, to the point where Manny looks scared to have a shot at goal. Firmino, forget shooting at goal, but right now he can't even keep the ball. And then you've got Salah who's chipping in and sort of keeping things alive with goals, but not as many as he could have. I mean, it's just crazy.
Final question. Oh, my goodness. Why would you want these back? Should clubs bring back the short shorts that your generation, mainly Stevie's, wore with their kits? Any other retro stars you'd like to see in the modern day game? You had short. I've seen some of Paul Mariner. Stevie, they were really short shorts.
Tough. Ooh, I tell you what, Earls, the ones we had, I'm going to say, 80, 87. Oof. Tell you what.
Did you ever have any accidents, Stephen, in your short shorts?
No, I did not.
Don, your shorts are a little longer, yeah?
Yeah, but my first year at Liverpool, when they had the short shorts, because I was always lanky, my legs looked horrendous. Honestly, they imagine like Peter Crouch with short shorts on. That's what I felt. I felt like Bambi when I was at Liverpool. Because Johnny Barnes and the other lads could rock them short shorts. Then all of a sudden, me and Steve McManaman come along, who are like the skinniest things ever, trying to wear these short shorts. I'm not even sure, Stevie, they had any like... you didn't tie them neither, did you? So the reason why there was sort of short, Dan, if you can imagine you've got a pair of shorts and they're slightly too big,
yeah.
If you roll them over, you sort of tighten them a little bit.
Sure.
So that's what we were doing.
So you're making them shorter in that action.
Yeah, but they're sort of fitting your waist, but it's getting worse because they're riding up your thighs. It was like, just put some string in, man.
But then the thing was, they went, after those, they went completely the other way to these big baggy things that just felt horrendous. Do you remember them?
Yeah, I remember them.
There was a period, wasn't there, where you wear cycling shorts underneath the shorts.
Yeah, but that was for people who had sort of tight groins and tight hammies. It was a bit of a myth. It never worked.
Right.
But people were like, put them tight shorts on, it'll secure your hammies a little bit better. And if you've got a bad groin, because I had a hernia when I was at Liverpool, or they'll help. You're like, no, it won't.
Oh. Just going back to the question, anything you'd like to see reintroduce the modern day games when it comes to fashion, Don?
I would like Boxing Day, it doesn't have to be Boxing Day, but in and around Christmas, I'd like to see all the teams across Europe wear a really traditional, old-fashioned, like a cult strip.
Oh, nice.
Just for one weekend only, everyone has to wear their iconic strip. It would look amazing.
Full-on retro strip.
Yeah, exactly.
Which one would you go for, Don, with all your past teams?
Liverpool, probably Crown Paints, I think, was the sponsor
Crown
at the time.
Today?
Yeah.
Today it would be Sheffield United.
Yeah, today it would be whoever has tweeted saying, you were the greatest player. How bad have the players been at Sheffield United if you're the best, Don?
Yeah, but leave them alone and then Everton will tweet me tomorrow and they'll go, it's definitely the one-to-one kit.
God.
You know, the one-to-one mobile kit. You've got to take the love when you get it, Dan.
Don, even you must admit that you aren't the best player that's ever played for Sheffield United.
Well, that's an insult. Name me three players that were better than me at Sheffield United. Go on, you don't even know any.
I know, it's true. I'm trying to think of Sheffield United players.
Well, Tony Curry for a start, he was a legend.
Right.
And then me.
Look at Stevie's face.
Stevie third. And then Jan fourth.
Jan is there as well. Goodness me, the Blades. Don Hutchinson, club legend. How long were you there?
Just under 2 years, and then Howard took me to Everton.
Ah, there you are. All right, that is
it. I was that good. I got the move to Everton.
Oh, good. Well, right. We'll tweet that tonight. That's it.
All right.
Enjoy your vegetarian pizza. We will be back tomorrow for more. Lots going on tomorrow. In particular, of course, the Carabao Cup final. Manchester City taking on Spurs. Be sure to join us.